Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express Network. Talk radio that informs. Talk radio that inspires. Talk radio that enlightens. Talk radio for us all.
Go for it, Steve.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Steve Duncanson, and welcome to another edition of Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. I'm pleased to be able to be here with you today, and it seems like it's 2 months in a row. It hasn't been like that in a minute, but I really am glad I am able to be on. However, I am sorry to have to report today that my co-host, Marilyn Ocasio, won't be on the line with us. She's actually experienced a death in her family, and I'd like to offer our condolences to Marilyn. Her nephew passed away, and actually, in his passing, it really kind of created a platform for what we wanted to, what we're going to talk about here today. You know, it was Marilyn's desire to share or talk about the issue of family and its importance, and I believe that that is quite apropos, given certainly what's going on in her family right now. And again, we offer our condolences to her and a prayer for some peace that passes all understanding for she and her family. Her nephew passed away suddenly, totally unexpectedly, and he's in his 20s. He was in his 20s. And so it really underscores a few things for us today that we're going to talk about. And let's, matter of fact, let's just go on and get into it. Before I do that, the producer of our program, Aurelia Lyles, is also on the line. And Aurelia, as I said to you pre-show, anything that you feel that you want to be able to contribute during the time, please feel free to be able to do that. Okay? We're good?
Okay, great. Good.
All right, great. Thanks for being here. Stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you sent me that text today and about Marilyn's nephew and again, the issue of an importance of family comes to mind. And, you know, the hope for all of us is that we don't wait until tragedy to realize just how important family is. And, you know, it's often the things that are around us most commonly that there's a tendency to take for granted. And so when we hear about concept of, like, gratitude and how important that is to be grateful for not necessarily the little things, but not the big things, but the little things. I spoke with a gentleman yesterday who had some surgery, and for a little bit he lost full use of the last two fingers on his right hand. And you just never think about just how important those things are when you lose a toe, just little things, and how critical those things are. And as much as I say little things, family's not a little thing, but it's common. It's a common thing that an entity in existence in our lives. And so to take the time to really think about just how important that is. So brother, part of the Les Brown Speakers Network, and as a brother was part of the network with me several years ago, shared a concept. His name is Ken Brown, by the way. And he said he had an acronym for family. That is family. Forget about me. I love you. Right? And family. Forget about me. I love you. And I think when we look at what that acronym reveals, it really underscores the value and the importance of family. It's not simply about ourselves. It's about the ones that are around us. Being able to show our love and our appreciation and not waiting until the big moments, i.e. birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, But every day, think about who those people are in your life who mean the most to you. And what we also know about family, family is not only blood. You know, family are those who have made the commitment to you and to whom you've made a commitment, irrespective of the issues, challenges, circumstances of life. But it is putting others before oneself. When we talk about the aspect of love, that's really what love is. Love is the desire to benefit others at the expense of self, where lust is the desire to benefit self at the expense of others. And so for those who we really love, or to really show love, it is about forgetting about ourselves and really being aware of heightening and raising in importance those individuals who are in our lives, just how critical family is. You know, other people, and I've seen this, attest to this, and for myself as well, through the various phases of my life, how when some instances or certain things may happen, other people will, you know, step off, you know, and even some who are blood to me were not necessarily as close. So I guess to some degree there's a portion of our family outside that we select. So it's not just blood. It's affection. It's the love that we have that kind of determines what family is. Again, there are those that are born into it, our blood, but then those who we choose, our family, and to value them, to appreciate them, to raise them in esteem all the time, not just some of the time, and not take for granted their existence in our life. What Marilyn's nephew proves and becomes an example of once again is that life is short. We don't know how much time we have. We are grateful for that most important commodity that we've been given stewardship over, and that is time. I don't care how much money you have, we can't get more time. I say oftentimes in groups that I'm speaking to that that time is the thing that we've been given that we have to certainly value greatly, because we don't know how much of what we've got. How much money you have, you can't get more time. You know, Marilyn's nephew went to sleep last night in anticipation of waking up this morning, and that didn't happen. He was in his 20s. One would think that he got years down the line to be able to experience, and that's not necessarily the case. But here's what that also his story and Marilyn's story kind of revealed for me is what understanding and knowing what our purpose is in life, right? Since we have a limited amount of time, then we need to be intentional, conscious, and purposeful with regard to how we live our lives. Right? And shared many times how purpose is the why behind the what. So the what is life? Why life? Why am I here? And not just being mystical or theoretical, you know, ethereal about it, but really, just philosophical, really understanding why we're here. What's our purpose? What am I supposed to be doing beyond the common existence? What skills, abilities do I have that I should be leveraging, not simply to benefit myself, but to benefit others? What understanding that purpose, you know, and I think several years ago I did a talk having to deal with that, your purpose, and the process of our lives, purpose and passion, responsibility, opportunity, challenging ourselves, educating ourselves, serving and submitting. So the word the acrostic. And again, those of you who've listened to me before know that I always have acronyms and acrostics to utilize. It's kind of, it helps me to remember things, but I think it could probably benefit all of us. So the word was process. The P being purpose and passion. The R being responsibility that we all have, taking responsibility for whatever we've been given. We've all been dealt a hand. We've all been given something. And so we have to take responsibility for what we've got, irrespective of the things that may come up in life. We all face challenges. We all face issues. And the reality is, as expressed by many, but I'm quoting most specifically Tony Robbins when he says that our decisions more than our conditions that determine what our outcomes are going to be. Right? Our decisions control us far more than the conditions that we meet. And so what decisions are we making, and taking personal responsibility for the decisions that we make? We can't control the conditions necessarily, or the circumstances, or the things that come at us. But what we can control and are responsible for are the decisions that we make. All right? And we can't pass that off to others. So the first P in that process, in the word process, and two P's, purpose and passion. R, responsibility. O, opportunities. Seizing them as they come, because we don't know how many more opportunities we'll have for whatever. The opportunity to tell someone thank you, that we appreciate them. The opportunity to try something we've never tried before. The opportunity to be able to seize something that is laying before us. Taking opportunities, because they don't always, again, the opportunities knock, no, they stand by waiting to be recognized. And those that see them and see them can take advantage of them. Opportunities. Think about how many have passed us by. Opportunities. C is challenge or change. Challenge ourselves to do something different than we've done before. The willingness to stretch. The willingness to embrace the value of that only constant in life, which is change. And the irony about change, the irony of change is that oftentimes as human beings, that's what we resist. We resist change. But it's the essence of maturation. It's the only way that we can grow. It's we're willing to embrace change and not simply done what we've always done before. We cognitively understand that doing the same thing the same way and expecting to get different results is, we cognitively understand that that's insanity. Yet, how often do we continue to do those sorts of things? We've got to be willing to change. E is educate ourselves. Again, we're dealing with the word process, because we are made in the processes of our life. And so the E in the word process, educate ourselves. Not simply formal education, even informal education. And talking with leadership groups, oftentimes what I express is this: when we stop learning, we stop growing, and when we stop growing, we stop leading. And so the criteria for being able to lead others is to consistently educate ourselves, consistently learn, and not reactively. Reactive learning is associated with simply experience. If you're waiting for things to happen to have learned from the lesson, then though that is good, it's reactive. Proactive aspect is seeking out people, material resources to be able to intentionally learn. The books we're reading, the seminars that we attend, the radio programs that we listen to, and being conscious and intentional regarding those sorts of things, educating yourself. So many different quotes come to me regarding the aspect of education. I don't remember necessarily who said it. They said, if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. Ignorance is even more expensive, because the many opportunities and things that you miss because of not having educated oneself. Some people say, well, I can't have time to go back to college. With the advent of the internet, we lose an excuse with regard to not having time to learn. our hands,
true.
The computers, the phones we carry in our hands have greater capability than computers, the best computers that were on the face of this earth 10 years ago, what we hold in our hands. And so with Google and, just all these different things that we're able to do, there's no reason not to educate ourselves. Then there are those who say, well, I don't really like to read. First, let me say, Mark Twain, I think, said it, the person who doesn't read has no advantage over the person who can't read. So we need to, the impetus has to be there. We have to read, bottom line. But if you don't like reading books, then get the audiobook. You know, audible.com. if you're riding in a car and you've got to commute to work, or you commute to the train on a train every day, rather than listen to music, put in a book. Buy an audio book. Put that in. But there's no excuse not to educate ourselves. And it's available free if we're on having access to the internet. We in our nation have very little to no excuse. You say, well, I don't have a computer in my house. I don't have a phone. You got a library? Go there. we can find 1,000 excuses why we can't do stuff. We just need one reason we can. And so seizing that opportunity to be able to educate ourselves is important. So we've got, again, P, process and purpose. R, responsibility. O, opportunity. C, challenge or change. E, educate ourselves. The first S and the two S's in the word process is serve. That's really what we are, placed on this earth to do. Again, going back to Marilyn's nephew, even though there's a short space of time that his life existed, that he was here, when it's all said and done, it's not simply how we lived, how long we've lived, it's how we've lived. In other words, what have we left behind? When Marilyn, when you shared that information earlier, I automatically thought this, that, we're not responsible for how we die. We're responsible for how we've lived.
So true.
Because we really don't know what the circumstances of our passing are going to be. Talking with someone at a conference that I attended last week, and his father is 101 years old. 101. And grateful, and he's certainly grateful for having his dad around for that long. That when how he's going to pass, or any of us going to pass, my favorite book says, no man knows the day or the hour. We just don't know. So we can't be held responsible for that. But what we are responsible for is how we live. And life is about serving others. And we oftentimes talk about leadership, and leadership is about serving. It's not about being served. Leaders' mindset, the mantra, should be, what do you need from me to be able to do your job more effectively and more efficiently, to be able to serve others? What have I given? What have I contributed? What have I left behind? It's about legacy, which is value from the past, nurtured and developed in the present for the benefit of the future. Service, the willingness to serve. Serving necessitates a mindset of humility. It connotes the need for not seeking to elevate oneself or to be recognized necessarily, but the desire to be able to contribute, to be able to offer to someone else so that they may be, that other person might be able to achieve, to be able to have, to be able to realize more. In the context of leadership, the humility is critically important. And the irony of that is we can think about so many who are in leadership positions in organizations from day to day, how the leader takes the accolades. The person in the front takes the accolades, makes the most money in the company, is more highly recognized than all others. But leaders who truly understand the value of service, what leadership is all about, they're looking to pass that those accolades on and recognition to others. It's not about being served. Life's about service. How have I been in service to mankind? And then the last S in that word of process is submission. Submitting to a higher power, recognizing that we didn't bring ourselves here, that when it's all said and done, our lives are in the hand of someone else, a power far greater than that of ourselves, irrespective of who we may call God. Now, I have my beliefs of who God is, and I proudly share that. So I don't look to force it on others, but always try to make opportunity to be able to share from that standpoint who I believe the one true living God is, and his son, Jesus Christ. So make no bones about that. The one thing I know of a surety, and we all know and have to affirm, none of us brought ourselves here. There is a power far greater than that of ourselves who brought us. God, the grand overall designer, is the one. And so in acknowledgement of that, there is the submission that we have to realize in our lives. That it's so interesting, I guess is, for lack of a better word, that Marilyn shared about her nephew today. The song came to me that, I grew up in church, so these old-time hymns sometimes stick in mind. And so the words of the song that I thought about yesterday were, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. You know, in the advent of all the political issues and racial unrest and incidences with the police and people debating All Lives Matter versus Black Lives Matter, and which, again, I've got solid opinions on those, but today's program isn't for that. There's so many questions about, with the election season upon us, the convention, both the RNC and the DNC coming up, who's going to be leading this nation? President Obama's 8 years quickly winding down to an end, with the political environment and landscape changing, the physical landscape changing, the issues of the economy, the terrorist threats, the threats of this mosquito, the insect, and then the disease. There's just so many things that are going on that, wondering. This is stuff that we just don't know. But there is one thing that is unchanging, and that's the sovereignty of God for the universes, for the millennia having gone before us, that preceded us, right? And that which is to come. So many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, which is the key of understanding and knowing that the grand overall designer created time, which is an insertion in eternity. Time is an insertion in eternity. And God knows all. He knew and knows when Marilyn's nephew was going to leave here. He knows when you and I are going to leave. We don't. So we're not responsible for that. But we are responsible for how we live. What contribution are we making? what will be said at our funerals when it is all said and done. You know, I'm sure we've all been to funeral services, and maybe we have some degree of knowledge of the person who is in the casket and what the person who's doing the eulogy is. And it's amazing how, you know, even in the news, how no matter how somebody lived, you know, the people are saying, he was a great kid, he was amazing, he never did anything wrong. And we're like, I don't know if that's the same person that's in that casket, because it ain't the person. I know. Like, everybody becomes a saint when they die, which is kind of like, yeah, right. But be that as it may, well, we are responsible for, if we want people to say, truthfully say, things about us at our passing, then that needs to be how we live today.
Exactly.
We cannot wait. You know, and as much as I'm saying these things, right, it's just, you know, through, you know, in the police department, you know, and many other city agencies, that we've got a 20-year retirement program, even though, I don't know, nobody, people coming today have 22 years plus, you know, age, right? Sorry to hear that. But here's what I've found, that far too many of us wait until we've got 15 years, you know, 17 years in the job to really plan for our retirement, right? We should not wait for that. And not, we should also not wait until retirement to live our lives, to determine, you know, what. It's just, you're saving for retirement. Yeah, but we've got to live now. And in living now, what are we contributing for ourselves and for others? It's not how long we lived, it's how we've lived. What have we contributed? And so, you know, as our time winds down today, I hope it is, as much as we certainly, once again, offer our condolences to Marilyn and her family and nephew's family. This wasn't about being a downer today, because I believe there are things that we can learn positively from this, to be reminded of, that should be encouraging and not discouraging, that we recognize that as someone has passed, we're still here. And so as long as we're still here, there's still time for us to be able to determine what our lives will be like, what will be our contribution, what will be said at our, as our eulogy. And with that, to me, that's cause for optimism. That's cause for celebration. But it's also a call to remember to put off or to not allow ourselves to become complacent. The one thing we should procrastinate about is procrastination, right? Right?
Yeah.
We should not do that. Put off procrastination. Live now, and not only for ourselves, but for those that are most important to us as well. Family, forget about me. I love you. And we're reminded that, yes, there are real issues in our society today when it comes to race relations. And I certainly would, and again, for another program, we can talk about that. And certainly do not approach life based on some rose-colored glasses. There are real issues that we have to deal with. There are some things historically and that to be acknowledged and recognized that systemically have to be addressed. But when it's all said and done, what we all must remember is that God created only one race, the human race. Dr. King said we live in an inescapable network of mutuality. There's a connection between all of us. We've heard the adages for years that we all breathe the same oxygen and we all bleed red. At the blood bank, There isn't black blood, white blood, Asian blood, gay blood. There is one. And as we remember that and not allow tragedy to cause us to remember it, but intention in life to be able to live presently for how we want to be remembered in the future. Again, our time is done. I want to thank you for being part of Paradigm Shifters. Marilyn, thank you and your family, your nephew, for reminding us of those things today. And that when we come together again next month, that we can celebrate how we have lived our lives in contribution to others. Well, thank you for listening. Again, I'm Steve Duncanson. Marilyn, to you and your family, we love you. Aurelia, thank you for your program, Cocoa Express. And thank all of you for tuning in. God bless. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.